So, do you come to Milwaukee often?
Actually, it's pronounced Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land.
Actually, it means the good sports land.
Time flies, man, I'll tell you. Wrapping up day three of the full squad practices here in Arizona, Brewers spring training, and let me tell you, time is just absolutely flying by. This is episode 9 of the Good Sportsland podcast here on MadCitySportsZone.com and Apple and all the good places where podcasts are consumed. But yeah, just looking around and how quickly the days go by in and out of the Brewers clubhouse, in and off the practice field, and it really just flies by. They're going to play their first game. Josh Lindblom going to be on the mound for the team. That's coming up this weekend, and then I don't know how many days it is till opening day, but it's really not that far away because I think opening day is technically in March this year. So, yeah, I guess you can officially say next month the team is going to be out there on the field taking real swings. More importantly, you guys who are all listening to this will be out there in the parking lot and in the stands having a great time because baseball season is very, very near. And we'll get back to basketball when I get back to Milwaukee. The Bucks will have played a couple games by the next one that I'm at. They have Detroit tonight. I'm recording this on Thursday afternoon. They have Detroit tonight, and then they have the Philadelphia 76ers on Saturday. Won't be at either one of those, obviously, but then we'll get back into the groove as the team will have then about 26 games left in the regular season before the playoffs start in the NBA, and I don't know if there's a year of playoffs that I've been just more curious to watch and more curious to see how things shake out. But either way, sticking with baseball, today was a fun morning over at the Brewers training facility. Pedro Gomez of ESPN was there. Now, if you're not into sports coverage, you may be like, oh, why is that cool? He's a reporter. Pedro Gomez is awesome. Let me tell you that. Not only is he like the happiest guy ever, it was 7:30 in the morning, and he's just a bolt of energy, but everyone and their mother knows him. He was talking, so he started off, he was talking to Christian Yelich. I'm sure there'll be some great clips on SportsCenter and things later today. But so he talks to Yelly. And then, so this is the unfortunate side of spring training. There are some guys there that are just younger. You know they're not going to make the team, but you also know that they are going to be in the minors and they're just going to continue working their way through this process. A lot of guys go through this in baseball. Pedro Gomez knew those guys. Like, he's going up to them, talking to them. I very much appreciate that he talks to players in Spanish as well. And he's talking to them, and he's just rolling through things. And it's not like he follows this team on a daily basis. He's just really good at his job because he knows all these guys in this clubhouse. And tomorrow he'll probably move on to the next squad. Like, what teams down the road? He'll probably go on to them too. So that was really, really cool to see. And, of course, the players, the star players and the coaches, they all know him, shake up with him. And Pedro Gomez was just an absolute delight. He was awesome to meet today. As someone who grew up watching people like him, or you know, the NBA guys that I've mentioned on this podcast before, it was really cool to meet him at practice today, and really cool to see just his interactions with the players. If I can end up being 5% of what Pedro Gomez is in terms of success as a reporter, I think it'll be a pretty solid career. So shout out my guy there. It was really cool to see him in the clubhouse today. I did want to start today with a follow-up. So on yesterday's podcast, I had Travis Shaw on the show, which was really nice of him to join and to talk to Wisconsin media members. He hasn't talked to any of us since he left in free agency, and all those stories came out that he was, you know, disgruntled or whatever. But I asked Craig Counsell about it because, for those who didn't listen yesterday, I don't blame you. Shaw, I'm talking about, was very complimentary of the Brewers as an organization, and he basically told Brock Holt, who's one of his good friends, going back to their time together in Boston, and they still, even as late as last year, FaceTimed a couple times a week, and they're just good buddies. He told Brock Holt that Milwaukee would be a very good destination once the two Holt hit him up, said, hey, I'm talking to the Brewers, what do you think? And he said nothing but great things about the organization. So I thought that goes a long way, especially when you're talking to other teams as well. So I asked Craig Counsell what it means to him to hear that a former player who left in free agency, who didn't have a great season last year, was so complimentary of the franchise, and here's what Council had to say.
Yeah, well, it means a lot. It does. And I mean, Travis, Travis had a tough season last year, so it's challenging. That can color how you think, for sure. And I'm glad Travis, remembers everything well here, because notwithstanding a tough season, I thought he handled himself really well, and he got us to he was a big part of the foundation in getting us to where we were at in 2018. So, it's important for sure. I mean, I think it's especially when you're having to fill a team up in a season like this in free agency, and you're competing against other teams for guys' services, and obviously the dollar figures, probably number one. But when a lot of dollar figures are really close for guys and they got to make a decision, that stuff's important.
So I thought the way those things came together was pretty cool, and for Travis Shaw to kind of go out of his way to compliment the Brewers and give his buddy some good advice, hopefully it works full circle. I think Shaw needed a fresh start out with the Toronto Blue Jays. He's in spring training down in Florida, and hopefully Brock Holt is as good as advertised here with the Milwaukee Brewers, and they get some things done. Still waiting on the contract numbers for him, but either way, I think it's a pretty good story all around. A little bit of news coming out of today's practice, a small bit of news, but Luis Urias, who the Brewers traded for this past offseason, he posted to his Instagram page how he had wrist surgery a couple weeks ago. Also asked Council about, just as we know that he's not going to be ready anytime soon, but just kind of a status update. He was playing catch, and I throw the air quotes up for catch because you'll hear why from Council in a second, but he was working with some trainers. He's going through conditioning, and here's just Craig Council with an update on where one of the Brewers' infielders is health-wise.
I mean, he's not allowed to have a glove on his hand right now, really. He's not allowed to catch a baseball, so that slows him down pretty much, yeah. The next doctor's appointment is this weekend, and so he'll see the doctor, and then we'll see what's next for him. Being able to put a glove on your hand and obviously not a bat in your hand. He's playing catch right now. He's doing conditioning with us. That's all we can attack with him right now.
So we'll see what happens there. It's obviously still very early in spring, and you're going to see a ton of different infielders for the Brewers this year, whether it's Holt, as I mentioned before, or Jed Jericho, Eric Sogard. You still have Orlando Arcia, so you have a ton of infielders, just where they're all going to end up, and we'll see what happens with Urias when he's finally able to get back out there onto the field. But he's young. The team has high hopes for him, so they'll take it slow. They won't rush things, and when he's ready, he's ready. I think the team is going to take the same kind of approach with Corey Knebel, who obviously won't start the season ready to go immediately, but will work his way in coming back from Tommy John surgery, which kept him sidelined for all of last year. So quick story, and then I want to play a one-on-one I had with a newly acquired pitcher, Shelby Miller, today, and then we'll end with talking about my Lorenzo Cain story and his tribute to Jackie Robinson that he has basically every time he steps onto a baseball field. But real quick, speaking of Lorenzo Cain, so his locker is not too far from Ryan Braun's, and Ryan Braun said during Brewers on Deck, and I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, he said during Brewers on Deck how this could be his last season playing professional baseball, and he was asked about that at the start of spring training, because if this is his last season, this will obviously be the start of his final spring training session. So here's what Braun had to say about that, and I want to play this because Lorenzo Cain was asked about it as well, and you might get a kick out of his response.
Pretty consistent topic of conversation around here for everybody. The game itself has gotten so young. I think there's constant reminders that I'm one of the oldest, if not the oldest guy in the room, basically at all times. So it's something that I enjoy. I do think I find myself a little bit more sentimental and nostalgic than usual, just knowing this could be the beginning of my last spring training. So full of gratitude, enjoying every moment and every day.
Cain, though, doesn't think that this is going to be Braun's last season. Take a listen.
I don't think it's his final goal. I think he got another year or two in him, me personally. So we'll see what happens. I think it just all depends how he feels this year. And I think if his body feels great, I think he'll come back for a few more years. But I think he can do it. So he takes care of his body very well. It's gonna be a fun season. We got a lot of players in here, a lot of good players. And it allows us, you know, give everybody, the regular guys, a days off here and there too as well. So I think we're all raring and ready to go, and it's about just going out there competing on the field.
Either way, the only person that knows that is Braun, and he's looks poised and ready to have a good season. Oh, quick note on him today. He did, I tweeted out the video, but when the team was warming up and stretching, they went and he actually broke off from the outfielders and went to warm up with the infielders, just kind of throwing long toss across the field. And then when the pitchers were going through drills where, so essentially, to take you inside the baseball world here, the pitcher stands on the mound and throws a fake pitch. There's no ball in his hand. And then a coach is at the plate, and he hits the ball toward first base, and the pitcher and the first baseman basically work on communication on who's going to grab it, who's going to cover the bag. And Braun was out there for probably 10 to 12, maybe 15 reps of that today, and they obviously just rotate, they go through and through, but I think him saw field probably between, let's just say, 10 and 15. I tweeted out some video of that going down. Nothing at full speed, nothing crazy, but just getting those reps, using the first baseman's glove, getting those reps, getting familiarized with his pitchers. They were bullpen pitchers that he was working with today. And then Greg Matzik of the Brewers radio network, he was on a different field later in the day and saw Braun just working one-on-one with a coach on some fielding techniques and things for first base. So he tweeted out that picture as well. So some cool stuff there. Braun obviously has said he'll play some right field this year, kind of switching with Yelly, and then he will get some reps at first base. None of that has obviously been confirmed super. Like, we haven't seen it yet, but he has said on numerous occasions he expects to get the same number of at-bats relatively around that he did last year, and he just thinks he's going to take some of those at-bats from the first base position. So we'll see what happens with that, but today was the first day that we've seen and has been open for us to see him go out and take those actual practice reps with the infielders and actually stepping on a bag and fielding some lightly hit ground balls to first. As I mentioned a couple minutes ago, Shelby Miller, new pitcher that the Brewers got some one-on-one time with him today. I had never met him before, kind of just knew his history a little bit, but somehow we ended up talking about haunted hotels in Milwaukee. He mentioned that they used to stay at the Pfister when he would travel to Milwaukee when he was with the Cardinals, and then I asked him if he thought it was haunted, so you'll have to listen to all of his. It's not that long, just 5 minutes or so. Just basically getting to know new Brewers pitcher Shelby Miller. And I start off by breaking the ice with the obvious. You know, he's in a new locker room, new clubhouse, new spring training setup, and I just asked him what, you know, kind of his vibe for the team was thus far.
It's good. I think the guys are great. You know, I think, you know, having everybody here is always a lot of fun. Everybody's, you know, getting to talk in and a little smack talk here and there. So having everybody here is good. I mean, it's a good camaraderie for sure.
Craig Council said it's like meeting new friends on the first day of school. Is that kind of how this goes?
Yeah, I mean, some people are a little bit more shy than others for sure. I mean, when you walk into a new clubhouse not knowing a ton of people, you kind of got to, you know, develop that friendship and make friends and make ends meet. But, like, you know, like I said in the interview earlier, I think this is a pretty easy clubhouse to come into. And once you are a little older like I am, you kind of played with some guys in the past and ran into them. So I see a lot of familiar faces. So it's a little bit easier for me. But no, it's been great.
Who's the most outgoing that you've met so far?
Oh, that most outgoing. Probably Nottingham, but I knew him in the past.
Okay.
He's out there and definitely fun to be around. Keeps you on your toes for sure.
You can kind of tell just him walking around, interacting with different guys.
He's like the class clown a little bit.
just yourself personally, like, now that you're with this new team and everything, what do you think that you offer specifically that can help, you know, push this team to the playoffs for the third time in 3 years?
I think if I get back to where I need to be, you know, I can definitely log some innings for this team. I have, you know, some experience pitching in the big leagues for a while, and I think it's a pretty easy team to come into because, you know, they're already good, so all you can do is hopefully help. And you know, but there's all kinds of rooms where, you know, windows to be filled where I can potentially help sometime, whether it's, you know, opening day or throughout the season, whenever it is. I think that you know, this team's got a lot of potential, like you said. Been in the postseason the past couple of years, and hopefully I can, you know, we can be a part of something special this year.
How much does it throw off an off season, I guess. You guys do so much routine work and things in the summers or the winter, I guess, for baseball. But when you're a free agent and you're moving teams and you're, you know, signing elsewhere, like what, how much does that kind of affect what you're trying to do workout wise?
I mean, it doesn't have a ton of effect on the workouts. More than anything, it's, you know, if you're going to Florida, I live here in Arizona, so if if I am leaving, I got a pregnant fiance at home, it's kind of hard for me to go to Florida and then, you know, kind of be accommodated and be comfortable there if I had to potentially leave her. But, you know, I signed later. Obviously, when people have the luxury of getting to, you know, kind of sign right after the season and kind of have an idea of what they're doing, you know, going into the season, knowing where they're going to be, having a chance to be able to set up, you know, where they're going to be staying and stuff, it's a lot easier. But some people don't have that, you know, that luxury or that benefit of getting to sign that early. So, like, for example, Brock signing this late, you know, who knows where he's staying or, you know, how hard it is for him to get accommodated. So I think that's the hardest part of, you know, moving teams and stuff like that. I don't think it really ties too much into the way you prepare your body and your workouts that much. But sometimes you might be working out in hotel rooms. I don't know.
So do you know if it's a boy or girl yet?
We're having a boy.
Okay. Do you get any parenting advice from some of the other guys on the team? I know Bron's got his third on the way.
Yeah, LeBron's got his third. Lowe's got three boys. He said he's done after that. So
he says they're too expensive.
Yeah, I wanted four, but, you know, I don't know. We'll see. This first one's probably, you know, kids are tough, I heard, but I'm looking forward to being a dad for sure.
And what are you looking forward to most about getting to Milwaukee and just kind of starting the season, but away from baseball? Like, what do you know about the city? Anything you're looking forward to experiencing there?
When I was with St. Louis for 3 years, I've, you know, didn't spend a ton of time outside of Milwaukee walking around and stuff because I didn't know really what there was to do. You know, we just stayed at the Pfister and then I'd kind of just get on the bus and go to the field. But, you know, small town, cute and quaint, I heard. And, you know, I love coffee. I'll probably be finding a local coffee shop and, you know, grabbing some good lunch spots. I mean, it should be relatively easy. I like the downtown area.
All right, so you brought up the Pfister, and just being from Milwaukee, I have to ask, do you have any horror stories? Because that hotel is, like, notoriously haunted.
Yeah, I don't have anything specific, but you can definitely feel some energy in there when you walk in. It's definitely different.
Any teammates or anyone have any long nights, lights flashing, anything like that?
Not that I can remember. I think when I was in Atlanta, something happened. But I'll have to think of a story.
Sounds good. All right, sounds good. Thanks, man. I appreciate your time. So that right there, a brief introduction to the new Brewers pitcher. We'll see what happens with him just over the course of the next couple of weeks and things. But if he ends up being kind of a, you know, influential pitcher this year, just wanted to get to know him a little bit and you know, kind of just see what he's all about. So that's Brewers pitcher Shelby Miller, newly acquired guy from this past offseason. And today's podcast a little bit shorter. We've just had the consistent updates throughout Brewers spring training. We'll have some more tomorrow. Working on a couple longer form one-on-one interviews with some names that you'll recognize too. So keep it locked here for that. We'll see if we can pull those off. I can get those posted tomorrow. But I wanted to finish with, I got some feedback on this on Twitter, and I was super excited to write it. So Lorenzo Cain is a pro's pro. Anyone who's been around this team or really just watched the team, everyone kind of gravitates toward Lorenzo Cain. He's always got a huge smile on his face. And I wanted to talk to him. It was part of a group interview. He said he had 3 minutes as part of this group interview. And the interview starts going, and, you know, we're asking him questions. I think it's the same interview that I got that Braun clip from earlier in the podcast. I have to go back and double check, but either way, that's not even important. And kind of as the interview died down, I asked him a question about Hank Aaron and Jackie Robinson, because when you're walking into the Brewers practice facility, there are all these placards and giant number statues, and of course you got Robin Yount, Raleigh Fingers, Bob Uecker, the faces of the Brewers franchise, but Hank Aaron has one as well. Jackie Robinson has one. He has his number is retired throughout baseball, and I asked him just what it means to him to see that, because there's not many black players in Major League Baseball today. Baseball starts in February, which is Black History Month, but, you know, in the NBA, you see games played. In baseball, you don't, because it's really spring training and things like that. So I feel like the players in baseball never really get a chance to tell their side of the story. You obviously have, like, the Negro League Heritage Nights, and when you wear the throwback uniforms and things like that. But I just wanted to start the conversation about how important it is not only to pay respects to guys like Jackie Robinson, Larry Doby, who often gets forgotten about. He broke the color barrier for the American League playing for the Indians literally 3 months to the day after Jackie Robinson did it. And guys like that who really helped pave the way. And because of the lack of baseball that is played by African-American kids right now, you look at Major League Baseball, and I put it in the story that's posted on MadCitySportsZone.com. Please give it a shot. Go read it. Check it out. And it's on my Twitter feed as well. But I think last year the number was 68 players. So when the season started, a team obviously has their full roster and then a reserve list and then a restricted list. On all those lists, I think it's 800-plus players. So only 68 were black, 7.7%. And so Lorenzo Cain and I just started talking about how, like, what do you do? Like, how do you get baseball into communities and get kids excited about baseball? And he brought up, you know, you got to teach kids you can be great at different sports. It doesn't always have to be football and basketball. But he kept going back to, you know, how guys like Jackie Robinson and Hank Aaron and paved the way for him because he doesn't think he'd be able to survive and deal with the things that they dealt with. And it ended up with Lorenzo Cain showing me a shirt that he has. And it's not just any shirt. It's a custom shirt from his group Under Armour. And on the front, it has the silhouette, the infamous silhouette of Jackie Robinson stealing home, and he's sliding into home. And then the back of it has the number 42, like it's a jersey, but it has thank you written through it. And Cain, I kid you not, he said, he's like, I wear this every game. And I was like, every game? And he's like, no, I wear this every game. And I was like, what about like practices? And he made a joke like the Allen Iverson practice because he's Lorenzo Cain at this point in his career. But he said every game it is under his uniform. So I wrote the story just on how every April 15th, and they've only been doing this since 2009, but every April 15th, every player, manager, and umpire wears number 42 on their jersey. Lorenzo Cain wears it underneath his jersey every single time he takes the field. And I want to play a clip here real quick of just him talking about the heritage of guys like a Jackie Robinson who paved the way for him and the reason why he wears this shirt under his uniform each and every game.
They went through something that, you know, I don't think I could have went through, you know what I mean? And allow myself and other African-American players to, you know, play this game. And I actually got an undershirt. I got it balled up right now, but I wear it. Oh, must have hung it up. I wear it every day. It has the 42 logo on it.
Really?
And I got sliding in the home. And, actually, I wear it every single day. And I just show how much I appreciate what he did, you know, not only for me, but a lot of African-Americans. So, like I say, he's a very unique person, a very special person. And, like I say, he's definitely one of my heroes for sure.
So please go check out the story. It's on MadCitySportsZone.com. On my Twitter feed, there's also pictures of the shirt. Cain then, he said in that quote that it was balled up, but a little bit afterwards, he found it. He hung it out for a bit to kind of get the wrinkles out, but then he showed me the back of it, took a picture of that, and then he showed me the front of it, and he kind of posed with a photo with a shirt that he wears under his jersey every game. So the story's out there, MadCitySportsZone.com or just on Twitter. But that pretty much wraps up day three. Thanks again for listening and interacting. Right now on the website as well, story I did a couple days ago, Corbin Burns was on the podcast, and I finally wrote that story just about his different approaches to the offseason. 1 year, he's one game away from the World Series. Last year, he was already practicing for this season during the World Series. And I asked Craig Counsell about it as well, and Craig Counsell said the season pretty much dictated that, and that's why he had a completely approach to his 2018 and 2019 offseason. But he's going to be stretched out and competing for a starting spot, so we'll see what happens there. So check out that story and all of our other coverage, MadCitySportsZone.com. Thanks so much for listening for today's podcast. This is the Good Sportsland Podcast on MadCitySportsZone.com.